Welcome back, everybody, to the Bonaventure Baseball Rundown Podcast. I'm Thomas Baia. That's Coach Raz. For the final time of the season, we are here and we're ready to talk some Bonnies baseball. Coach, how are we doing today?
You know, it's a deep breath. Of course, the kids are gone and the skies are completely blue and it's sunny and mid-80s here today. So it seems to work out that way, doesn't it?
It really does. I see we're doing this on Zoom, of course. I'm back home as well. I see you're in your office. What's on the agenda for you today, being in the office and stuff with everyone gone?
You try to wrap up some stuff from the season. You know, bills got to be paid. Try to put up, you know, got a lot of uniforms to sort out and organize and, you know, gather the equipment. We got a lot of construction going on our field this summer, so we kind of got to clear that area the best we can to kind of prep for that. So it's exciting. I'm really, I'll be really pumped when I start to see some things happening over there this summer.
Well, like we said, this is our last one and we have a nice little sweep to talk about, which is beautiful. You guys were able to sweep Fordham at home, which is beautiful. Let's start with game one. That was a 5-3. All these games were great baseball games. I mean, even if someone didn't watch them, you just look at the score, you're like, wow, that's a great baseball game. But the first one was a 5-3 win. Each team had 10 hits, so there was a lot of traffic on the base paths. And you guys went with, of course, Mr. Salina, who started, went 5 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, 2 of them earned, had a walk, 3 strikeouts, 94 pitches. What did you see from him? Obviously, we've talked about him a lot this year. We mostly had great outings. I know a couple times maybe he struggled, but this one was a pretty good outing for him.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I think every time Mike's on the mound, he gives us a chance to win. And I think that, you know, this is another situation where he went out and he battled and gave us 5 innings and, you know, maybe he wasn't his best as far as strikeouts go. And, you know, they put together some hits at some moments and scored some runs here or there. But, you know, he gave us 5 innings and he kept, you know, the score under 5 and, you know, gave us a chance to kind of hang in there. And he's done that all year. Unfortunately, he just hasn't been able to pull out the wins, right? I think he'll be the first one to tell you that, you know, I think he's disappointed, you know, not, you know, going 0-5 in the conference wasn't something I think that we thought would happen, you know, but I think it just kind of says we were, you know, it kind of shows that we were close in all those games though. And he gave us a chance to win. We just didn't come out on top all the time or where he was credited for the win. You know, but he gave us a chance and Bobby came in and I think, you know, Bobby's been in and out of the starting rotation a little bit, but we really think that he gives us a lot of value out of the bullpen, you know, can give us some length, gave us 3 innings, no runs, only 2 hits, really gave us a chance to get some runs on the board and then got it to our closer who's been, you know, really hot, really good in the conference and, you know, shut down for the save and got us the win in game one.
We've talked about Bobby Finn a lot, and he's someone that I did want to bring up in this episode. What have you seen from him all year long? Have you seen an improvement in the stuff maybe that you didn't see, or like what exactly was it with him that has made him so effective this year in so many different roles?
You know, I think the numbers kind of speak for themselves. You know, when you talk about what do you see, right? Like, I think at the end of the day, like the guys that had the best numbers got the most work on the mound, right? Like it's pretty obvious, you know, like, I mean, Bobby finished with a 5.5 ERA, which is, you know, really good in college baseball, especially being in and out of the rotation a little bit. You know, he was tied for second for appearances, but, you know, he had 34 innings, 38 strikeouts. When you're striking out more batters than innings pitch, that's a pretty good indication that you're getting some swing and misses, and it's been on his fastball. So if you're going to get swing and misses on your fastball, which has got to be probably your pitch you command the most and you use the most, it really gives you a chance to use your other stuff to you know, keep people off balance a little bit, but maybe not have to rely on it. And you know, he does that. He comes out and ball gets on you quick and he gets a lot of swing and misses, especially on his fastball.
And then looking at the offensive side, how about our guy Adam Ranky, just from the leadoff spot going 4 for 4, really being the, you know, getting 40% of your guys' hits and being the, you know, I guess a catalyst from that leadoff spot for you.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. Unbelievable year. You know, he seems to show up every game. It's he doesn't take a game off. So, yeah, just doesn't. I mean, obviously, it doesn't surprise me. So it's what Adam Ranky can do to you. But you know, it's funny. They it was a little bit of bantering going back and forth between the dugouts. There were some people that knew some people and things like that. And Ranky comes up to the plate in the first inning, and you know, no batting gloves, old cleats, crouched over the plate, and someone from their dugout yelled, "No drip." And literally, like, the next pitch was, like, I think it was a double to right center gap. And our guys yelled, "Don't need it." You know, it was hilarious. Like, you know, it just – he doesn't have any, you know, there's not a lot of stuff going up there with him, and elbow pads and batting gloves and all that stuff. And but he just – he rips baseballs, and he did it all year, man. We're going to miss him the most as far as the lineup goes, no doubt about it.
When your guys are, you know, having fun like that, and you said some guys, you know, maybe knew each other, so it was all good bantering fun. But what's your view as a coach in terms of, you know, chatting a little bit out there, you know, kind of having that swagger or that, you know, that edge to them? What's maybe, is there a line for you where, you know, maybe not in that situation, but in general, where it can go too far and you have to kind of rein your guys back? Or do you want them to have that edge? And, you know, I think the new words, like the dog mentality, as I think a lot of people say.
Yeah, I don't love it. And it does get close to crossing the line. And, you know, over the course of the weekend, guys definitely crossed the line a couple times. And, you know, I said something to them because I don't love it. I don't. I think you can be a dog and be very fired up and play with emotion without having to talk smack to the other dugout or, you know, taunt the other dugout or the other team. I think you can fire up your own guys with the way that you play. You know, I think it's kind of what we try to preach as much as possible. We don't get too caught up into it too much. Now, if they know somebody and you know that, you know, it's all in good fun. Like I don't care. It's not my favorite. But I get it. Sometimes that stuff happens, and it was a good atmosphere, so it was fun.
Yeah. Old Bills coach Marv Levy used to say, "Act like you've been there before," kind of deal. So,
yeah, I don't want to try to, you know, sound too Marv. You know, that's pretty old. So, fair enough. You know, I get it.
How about Jason?
I think you can play with emotion without having to taunt or go after another team. I think you can do it within, right, and fire up your own guys. But
for sure. For sure.
Jace. I heard you. You were going to Jace. Yeah. Unfortunately, losing Paul, you know, it definitely affected us in our lineup. He provided a speed element and a get on base element and a consistency as far as catching fly balls and things like that. But it did create an opportunity for Jace, and Jace was able to kind of go out there and just play. You know, it was pretty much after Paul got hurt. All right, Jace, you got to, you know, run out there every day and let's see how it goes and see if you can stay healthy and catch it a little bit. And I think, you know, we, over the course of the last couple of weeks, getting to watch Jace play out there, you're reminded of why we thought so highly of him last year and why we feel like he is such a super talented kid. I mean, he covers a lot of ground in center field. He's got a really good arm. You know, he is electric at the plate. He can steal bases. He can hit for power. He can do it all. He really can. And, you know, we hope that this summer he can continue to add some strength and maybe hit for a little bit more power next year and really be a force if he can stay healthy. I mean, he's a talented kid, and it definitely showcased the last couple of weeks.
The guy we've talked about a little bit, especially when he decides to hit some home runs, is Morgan Little, who went 2 for 4 in that game with a couple of ribbies. When he's, it seems when he's been in the lineup, you know, more so, you know, in the second half of the year. I remember the first half of the year, we weren't really talking about him too much, obviously. And then he starts, you know, being in the lineup. And now here he is, you know, how many home runs did he finish with this year?
Six.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's unbelievable. And like you said, he plays a great first base as well. Can you talk about him a little bit?
Yeah, in a joking way, you know, we had our end of the year evaluations with every player. And, you know, when I talked to Morgan in here, it was, you know, trying to make him understand like how powerful his bat is, and we need him to swing it as much as possible. And the reason for it, to be honest with you, is it seems like when Morgan hits, we win. And I'm not trying to like put that on Morgan. It just seems that way, right? Like other guys have contribute in a lot of different ways and get on base and do things like that. But Morgan seems to come up a lot with runners on base. And when he gets a hit here or there every game and drives in some runs, we tend to win those games. So, you know, I think back to the VCU game when he went off and, you know, helped us win that series. He was really good in that series. And, you know, when you have a power position like first base, you need production out of that spot. And he's shown a lot of flashes. I think it's been a great year for him. You know, at the end of the day, his numbers were pretty good. And, you know, obviously the defensive part was really good. So, you know, he's an important part for us next year. And I think we saw growth as the year went on.
Heading into game two, it was a 4-3 win. You guys jumped out to a 1-0 lead in the first, able to tack on three more in the bottom of the third. And then they got two back going into the fourth, and then only one back in the eighth. So they tried to creep back into it, but you guys were able to slam the door starting with, where else do you want to start other than Luke Roggenberg? 7 1/3, 9 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. Through 100 pitches. I mean, we've seen him kind of like Bobby Finn in a variety of different roles, but he gets the start in this one and he pitched really well.
Yeah. He deserved a chance to go ahead and get out there and start a game for us at the end. He's been great for us all year. You know, Roggs has put together his best season on the mound. You know, even last year, like he was good for us at times, but, you know, the ERA was a little higher and he wasn't striking anybody out. And the walks were always a good spot. But, I mean, his numbers jumped through the roof this year. 56 innings, 41 strikeouts, 9 walks, you know, a 6.0 ERA. I mean, he really came on strong. The fastball took a little velo jump this year, and you could tell that made a big difference for him. And he will be one of the 5 returning that were really good for us on the weekends this year. And he's a very important piece for us next year. Can do a lot of different things. He can obviously start if we need him to, but I also think that he would be a killer closer for one inning, trying to see his stuff for one inning. And he's athletic and smart and doesn't get rattled and, you know, has an inner fire in him. Roggs is great, man. I'm really, really, really happy with his production and his development. And, you know, I think you could see a C on his chest next year, no doubt about it.
What's the balance for you like when you're going to pick a closer, when you have a guy like Roggenberg or somebody else, whoever you want to throw out there, who has good stuff? You say, oh, yeah, they could be good for anything, but also, oh, they could be a starter too. What's the balance for you, and how do you choose or decide which role to put them in?
It really just matters on how your staff looks, you know, how your staff balances out. But I've had a lot of different closers that did a lot of different things. So I don't think that there's any one particular. My very first year coaching, we didn't have a lot in my first college. And, you know, there was a local kid that was a right-handed pitcher. He was short, maybe 5'9", 5'10". Man, he had a killer curveball. He had one really good pitch, and it was a curveball. And he could throw it for a strike, throw it in the dirt. And he would come in and close games for one inning and just throw curveballs. It was so good. And he racked up saves that year, you know. And I had a sidearm kid from, you know, Syracuse area that was the best bullpen guy in the World Series for 2 years for us. And he threw 77 miles per hour, but You know, it moved everywhere, danced everywhere. And you definitely, at the back end, you have to have a competitive fire about you. You can't get rattled. You know, you have to, unless you have electric stuff, right? Like if you have, you know, 96, 97 mile per hour fastball that you can rely on, you don't necessarily need as much killer mentality, because that fastball is a killer mentality. So, you know, but you know, if you have average stuff or just above average stuff, there has to be something about you. And Roggs has that in him. I mean, it's very quiet, but it's in there, man. He gets fired up in big moments and he does not get rattled, really fields his position. There's a lot of check marks with Roggs, and I think he's going to come back and have a really, really great senior year. So yeah, hats off. Great way to go out for Roggs.
Well, like you said, hats off to him. We're excited to see what he does next year. Cade Walker came in relief, an inning in 2/3, just 1 walk, 2 strikeouts, no hits, no runs. You know, we've seen him, you know, mix in that starting rotation a little bit. We've seen him, you know, piggyback off some starters. What did you see from him? And then just maybe summarize his season.
Cade, again, I think he's one of those five, right? One of those five that had a lot of success for us on the weekends and, you know, in and out. I think his best spot is out of the bullpen. I think he's been really much better out of the bullpen than he has been starting. And he looked really good coming out of the bullpen in this game with a lead and having to kind of lock down a save. His, you know, he's tough to see for a couple of innings. It's, you know, lefties out of the bullpen are tough. And, you know, I thought Cade did a really nice job. And, yeah, pitching has been hot. Pitching has been hot. To see them kind of go out this weekend and throw the way they did was really encouraging, because, you know, the last three weekends, the pitching has been there, no doubt about it. So there's been a lot of growth there. We could talk a little bit more about it, but you start looking at some of the numbers from last year compared to this year. And I mean, it came out on Twitter last night that this group of pitchers set the all-time record for the school for strikeouts by a team. So, you know, there was a lot of progression on the staff, and we're really, really pumped about the way they finished the year.
And I promise we will talk about that. There's a lot of stuff put out on Twitter that's definitely worth bringing up. Real quick, when you talk about how Cade is better out of the bullpen, you like him in that role. But, you know, he started some games, and, you know, I don't really know. I've never asked him. I've never heard you say if he wants to be a starter or not. But I know a lot of guys traditionally do want to be starters. Is it kind of how does that conversation go for you as a coach to say, hey, I know you want to start, but we really like you out of the bullpen? And, you know, a Yankee example, Mariano Rivera was a starter when he was coming up through the minor leagues. They made him to the bullpen, and he's the greatest closer of all time. What is that conversation like with guys? And is it ever hard to sell guys on, hey, I think your best avenue for you and to help this team is out of the pen?
I think identifying roles is something that every coach wants to get across to their players, right? I think players want roles. Players want to know what their role is on the team. And it's really about matching up. Like, you know, if a player wants something bigger than his role, then he has to earn it. And if he doesn't understand those things, like, that's where it becomes a little bit tough. Those conversations can come a little bit heated, because it's like, you have to understand your role, or it's not a good fit. You know, maybe you have to play somewhere else. But Cade's a very competitive kid. I think he just wants to compete. You know, so if you put him in at the end of game, when a game's on the line, he's going to thrive in that spot too. And, you know, he's willing to do whatever it takes to help the team. I think Cade's just a kid who's happy to have an opportunity here, and he's gotten a ton of it. And I think he's proven himself to be an important part of next year. So yeah, great job.
Yeah. And he's got really good stuff as well, like we've talked about, especially from the left-hand side. Offensively, 9 hits total as a team. Did I get there right? Yep, 9 hits total. Adam Reinke again with a multi-hit game. Jay Starnish again, multi-hit game. And then a couple hits sprinkled in. David Marshall, Harrison Kaufman, Antonio, 1-for-4, Morgan Little had a hit as well. And then Gavin down at the bottom of the lineup playing second also had a hit as well. What did you see from the offense? And it's got to be pretty nice having a night, not just, you know, your top three or four guys, you know, having hits, but also some guys in the middle and a little bit at the bottom of the order doing some damage as well.
Yeah, you know, when you're eliminated from the playoffs and you have your last weekend series, it's always tough to kind of balance what you want to do with the lineup and things like that. And, I wanted senior day on Saturday to be super special, right? Like I wanted all those guys to kind of go out together and play together. And, you know, Friday or the Thursday game, we kind of ran out our normal guys. Friday, I kind of wanted to go with the younger guys, you know, the guys that have been supporting the starters all year and, you know, get a chance for that, those guys to get a start and, you know, kind of look a little bit, you know, besides Ranky, all those guys are coming back that started in that lineup. And, you know, it's tough to take Ranky out when he went 4-for-4 the game before that. So, you know, and obviously went 2-for-4 in this game was a big part of it, but, you know, kind of getting those younger guys in there, guys that are coming back and having them compete and having the seniors on the bench kind of hang out together and talk. And, you know, I'm sure they want to be out there, but those guys are so beat up too, you know, especially like a Putney and Jackson, like, you know, they play a lot of games this year and sometimes just taking a seat back and, you know, being in that moment and watching the younger guys that supported you all year can be a good thing. And, you know, like I said, it's tough. It's tough to find that balance sometimes, but I felt like it was the perfect weekend, you know, and these younger guys went out there and they competed and, you know, let's have Gavin get a hit. And, you know, Gavin's appeared in 20 games, but only had 3 starts. So, you know, he's been pinch running and being a defensive replacement all year. And Harrison's come on, you know, Harrison's had a good finish to the year and Morgan and Chris has been in and out of the lineup and Ryan Davis has been here all year supporting. So it was just cool to kind of, you know, we knew it was going to be David Marshall's last game. So it was a cool lineup to run out there. It's great to see him go out and get the win. And Rog's kind of carrying them on the mound was awesome. And they did enough for him. So it was a cool game too, I thought. Despite, you know, the 1,000 opinions that are probably out there on it. But it just led into a very special, special Saturday.
You talk about Ryan Davis. He's someone that we don't really talk about much. I know he went 0-for-4 in that game, but, you know, he's someone, like you said, who's been around all year. What do you like in him? What do you see in him? Just, you know, he's someone that we don't really get to talk about that much.
Yeah, Ryan's a great kid. You know, he's come a long way from Texas. He obviously had a lot of success last year at the Division I level in junior college. You know, he's a big, long, lanky, leverage type of kid. And he's, you know, had to make a couple adjustments in his swing and then kind of went away from it. And then it's kind of went back to it recently. There's talent in there and he's had opportunities. It just hasn't worked out for him. And, you know, he's handled it really well. He's been a great teammate. Him and Morgan are really good friends and break each other's chops on the daily regular. It's unbelievable. So, you know, he's been a really good teammate as far as that stuff goes. And, you know, he'll be the first to tell you that he's had opportunities. It just didn't work out this year. And, you know, we hope it motivates him to really pound the weight room, get stronger, continue to work on things and come back next year and hope to have a bigger impact. Great kid. Glad he's here. Fantastic student. Good teammate. Happy he's here with us.
Moving on to game 3. Now, I know one thing that you've talked about with me is, you know, we haven't really had as much success on Sundays. Well, maybe, you know, we just need to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because the final game of the series this time was on Saturday, not Sunday. And you guys were able to complete the sweep, 6-5 win. Let's start. We'll start with the pitching, like we usually do. Noah went out there, 6 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, only one of them earned, and 8 strikeouts, which is probably the number that might jump out to you there. You know, you mentioned the pitching was great all weekend, and Noah joined the party.
Yeah, you know, the life of Noah. So, you know, he was hot there 3 starts ago. He was really good, and he had, you know, 2 really good starts in a row and went to Davidson and just had a bad start down there. It's great for him to come home, throw the last game and find some success and, you know, be able to carry that momentum into next year. He was great. When Noah's on and he's locked in, he can be very, very, very good. 10 starts this year. You know, he ended up starting a lot for us and, you know, I think that he did a very good job in a lot of those starts. There's just a couple here and there that didn't work out early for him, and we had to get him out. But as a sophomore, I think it was a very successful season for Noah. I mean, you can compare his numbers from last year. It's not even close. And, you know, he's definitely got a bright future with us and in life. You know, guy's going to make a lot of money being a doctor, surgeon, or something. I mean, he's just incredibly smart. You know, so they had a great article in his, you know, down in Pittsburgh about him recently. Just kind of explaining his kid and his path and, you know, everything that he's about. So yeah, really happy Noah went out that way.
Ryan O'Connell came in, 2 innings, 3 hits, 3 runs, 3 of them earned. He's someone, who won't be around next year. What did you see from him and just him this season as well?
Man, Oak's awesome, awesome kid. I love talking to Oak. I think he's, you know, honestly, he's one of the coolest kids on the team. Like, I think everybody loves Oak. Like, he's just, you know, he's a great kid. He's very talented. You know, he's a Bonnie for life. I think Oak loves this place, and, you know, to graduate from here and pitch for 3 seasons was just a great fit. I love him, man. I'm going to miss him, but I think a grad year for Oak could be very interesting, you know, like him moving on and finding a spot to play one last year could, you know, you never know, man. You know, when Oak's good, he's unhittable. Keep running up to 93, 94. His fastball is very tough to hit. And we sat in our exit meeting and we talked that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a Power 5 picks him up. You know, it's a one-year gamble. He's got good stuff. He's big. He's strong. He's a great kid. You know, I just – you never know where Oak's going to end up. But, you know, he's a Bonnie for life. We're going to miss him. And, you know, he went out in Oak fashion, you know, made it interesting – his last game, but, you know, to get 2 innings out of him to bridge it for Tristan, because Tristan just threw the day, you know, the prior game one. So we knew we couldn't get a lot out of Tristan, but he got it to him with the lead. So, you know, he did his job, and it was, again, cool way to go out as a senior, to go out there and pitch toward in the end of the game in a meaningful moment. So, yeah, to miss Oak.
And then offensively, Adam Ranke, 2 hits, 2 runs. Jay Starnish, 2 hits, 2 runs. Dijon with a couple of hits. Jagger Nucci with a couple of hits. Our team with a couple of hits. When you see that, and, you know, especially those last two guys that I named, you know, who don't, you know, didn't get to see the field as much this year, but they're able to get a couple of hits. How, I mean, talk about your reaction, the reaction from the team, the entire coaching staff, the fans there, when they see guys like that going out and getting hits in their last game down at St. Bonaventure.
Probably one of the coolest atmospheres that we've had here in my 2 years. We did exit meetings with all these guys that week, see a chance to kind of talk about the year, the season, and the roles. And, you know, you somebody like our team, you know, you feel bad for. And I even when I sat with our team, just told them I was sorry the way the season worked out. You know, we had plans on him playing second base a little bit, and he never really played there a ton. He's always just kind of been a shortstop, and, you know, it didn't work out over there. And obviously with David being the everyday shortstop and playing every game up until the last game, you know, and ended up being a second team all conference kid, you know, it was tough for our team to get in there, but I was really happy. He was a big part of our team last year, played a lot of games. So to get him in there the last game and see him have some success was really cool. All the seniors had big moments, man. Jagger had 2 hits, a couple nice line drives. And, you know, Jagger's a meeting that was great. You know, just super supportive teammate, awesome kid, handled his role unbelievable this year in a tough situation. Think the world of that kid. I think he's an awesome, awesome kid. And to see him have success on senior day and the roar of the crowd for him was awesome. You know, obviously, Ranky's Ranky. So I think his 2 hits was kind of like, ho-hum, of course, you know. But You know, Jackson had a really big moment, drove in a run, big line drive base hit after coming up short his first at bat. So it was cool to see him kind of cash in. And then, you know, the moment of the day when Putney hit that two run, that jack, it was awesome. It was late in the game, create a little bit of distance in the score. And, you know, Putney really hasn't been the same since Louisville when he hurt his wrist. And it's not something we talked a lot about, but, you know, you look at those first three series when he was healthy, what he was doing as far as the power numbers go, you know, two home runs at Citadel, home run at Louisville to you know, help us win a game. And, you know, he hurt his wrist there and had it looked at, and, you know, probably going to need something done to it at some point, but just played through it all year. And to see him have that moment was tough, man. That was a tearjerker. So really, really cool. And then to kind of lock down that win with the seniors out there on the field was just an awesome way to end it. It was a really cool weekend and felt like it all came together and got a lot of nice notes from alumni. You know, there's a coaching alumni that's at a very big Division I school that's a Bonner alum. And, you know, he sent me a message and just, you know, said that, you know, pulling out a sweep your last weekend is, you know, a sign of a good culture. And, you know, a lot of people kind of have sent those kind of messages, and it was an awesome way to end it. Set a lot of, you know, a lot of firsts for the program for a while, and, you know, the last few years. So, yeah, it was great. Great way to end it.
Is there a cooler name in the world than Jagger Nucci? And is there a cooler tradition than the final, like, lap around the bases for the seniors? Is there anything cooler than either of those things?
Yeah, he's the man. Great kid. Great name. Yeah, the last lap is special. It's one of those traditions that, you know, obviously was here long before I was, and it's awesome. I think it's special and very important to keep on with the tradition. And the whole weekend's cool. You know, like Friday after game two, we have a family event, you know, with a banquet and things like that. And, you know, that's really cool to get the families together. And then obviously you end the season with the last lap, and, you know, players pretty much boogie out after that. So it's a really, really cool tradition. We got a huge shout out on Twitter from Big D1 influencer. So that was cool to see him put that out there and just kind of let the country know that this is a cool experience, and St. Bonaventure baseball is special, and it's got some special traditions and a long history here. And, you know, it's fun to see the path that we're on. And I think there's a lot of people that are jumping on board and, you know, seeing what we're doing.
Well, we mentioned this before we started recording, but the all conference teams came out. Adam Ranke, first team all conference, David Marshall, second team all conference, Jack Putney, all academic all conference. And then Noah, academic all conference as well. When you see those names come out and you guys are represented pretty well, what does that mean for you as a coach and then for the entire program?
To me, it just, you know, it shows that the conference had, you know, strong feelings about those guys being good players in the conference. And, you know, seeing the talent that we're putting out there on the field was a good product this year. And, you know, they earned the respect of their coaching peers, and, to jump in the all conference teams like that is really, really cool. Especially with someone like Adam, who had just an unbelievable career here, and, you know, David being a junior and having another year, having that, and, you know, Putney being Putney and racking up some more memories at the end here. And, you know, Noah, for all of his hard work that he does in the classroom and having some success this year, is just very cool. Very cool ending, and just a great representation of what we did this year.
Now, I know we've kind of talked around it, but, you know, Adam Ranke put on Twitter that he's going to enter the portal for a grad year. How does that conversation happen with you? I'm assuming it happens in those exit meetings. How long have you known? How does it come about? Just kind of take us through that conversation.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting because you know, people don't understand sometimes that there's a lot of different layers to this stuff, right?
It's so new. Nobody really knows about it, right?
Yeah. So Ranky's not eligible for Division I baseball anymore.
Okay.
His 2021 junior college season was considered a COVID season by junior college, and they awarded a blanket waiver that the season didn't count. Basically, Division I athletics does not count that waiver. They're counting that as a year played based on certain criteria. Right? There's like four criteria under that you have to meet for it not to count. But Ranky, you know, that season, I think he played in like 48 games. So it's not like he didn't play or it was shortened like 2020. But in Division II and Division III, they don't count it because Division III had a blanket waiver in NCAA. So like nobody counted that season, and Division II's, I don't know, just stuck in between. And for some reason they can play. I don't know the background on that one, but so he's looking for an opportunity basically to go to a Division II or Division III school, probably Division II, you know, someplace that he can go and kind of play one more year, you know, work on some grad classes, you know, get them paid for and, you know, play another season. You only live once, man. You know, so I think it's a conversation that we talked about, a plan. Kyle Kakamiz is in the same situation. Tristan Ciampa, same situation. So those guys aren't leaving here because they have another year and they didn't like it. They would love to be here. I think all three of them would be here. But, you know, they have another opportunity through a different avenue, and you know, it's my job to help them out. So, you know, we've been taught, I've emailed schools that I've had contacts with in the past, you know, just trying to help them out because that's the job, and I'll do anything for those guys. So that's the situation with those three specifically. You know, the other guys that got in the portal graduated, you know, and their time here is done. They're just going to do a grad year somewhere else. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of different – that's why it's unique. There's so many different layers to it in different situations, but, you know, that's what we're dealing with Adam.
I appreciate you shedding some light on that because myself included don't really understand all the different rules and layers.
Right.
I appreciate that. Is there anybody that just entered it that is, you know, younger, like a freshman or a sophomore, anybody go into it that way, or is it going to be a pretty similar roster, you know, next year in terms of that?
No, I think everybody that is leaving, there's an outlier situation like that. Like it's because of that COVID year, they want it back, or they graduated and they, you know, they're on to grad school. So there's nobody that comes to mind that's younger, that's entering the portal, you know, for without having a discussion or something like that. I mean, we've had some discussions, but yeah.
Gotcha. When you look at this season as a whole, how would you sum it up in, you know, just a few sentences, and then heading into next year, kind of preview next season in just a few sentences as well.
Yeah. You know, I think this was a big step forward from last year. I think, I think the roster construction was in a really good spot this year. And I think it's in a great spot for next year. You know, to grab 18 wins, it's the most wins since 2017. You know, doubling the wins plus a couple from last year. Obviously wins at Louisville, Penn State, huge, huge for the program. First conference series sweep since 2017, you know, first ever series win versus VCU, and, you know, obviously grabbing the sweep at Canisius this year was big for the program. You know, a lot of big wins, a lot of big moments right there in the mix all year until the end. And, you know, you saw a difference in the numbers too. You know, last year, the staff ERA was a 9.97. You know, the average against was a 3.47 average. This year it dropped all the way down to 7.14, you know, a 3.16 average against. And
obviously we know we set the program record for strikeouts as a staff this year. So that was really cool. You know, the production of the offense went up, you know, the batting average went up 27 points. We hit 250 last year at 277 this year, similar number of doubles, seven more triples, home runs were similar. We had, you know, 65 more ribbies, 70 more runs scored this year than last year. You know, drew 50 more walks, struck out 30 times less, stole, you know, doubled the stolen bases from last year. So, you know, statistically, you're seeing all the numbers get better, you know, the pitching staff and the offense. So I feel like we're headed in the right direction. The wins went up, the numbers went up, the roster is definitely, the talent level is going up. You know, I think it's a big summer for us. If we can land, you know, one or two transfer players that could be insert and play guys, you know, it would really, I think the depth of the roster and the numbers that we have right now are pretty good. You know, we're looking for maybe three or four guys that can come in and make major impacts. So we're in a good spot, man. Obviously I think the chemistry of the coaching staff's been really good. You know, we're all on the same page. We've self-evaluated, we've gotten player feedback of things that we could do better. So we're, you know, those things that we're planning on doing next year that are going to be different than this year. So it's just continuing to grow, you know, not just the players, but as a coaching staff and a program overall. So yeah, we're excited, man. I think this is a good year. Had a tough stretch. It was tough to get through a little bit, but just because our expectations are high, you know, and I think they're going to be even higher next year. So yeah, man, it was a great year.
So tell me about your summer. You go out to like high school games and look at guys, or do you have any vacations planned? What does Coach Raz's summer look like while all our students are away on summer vacation as well?
Yeah. I'll take some time with the family. I got two little girls. I've been on the road a lot. So definitely we'll spend some time with the family, taking to a couple beaches, stuff like that, a couple family vacations. You know, but yeah, the vacations are worked around recruiting trips. So, you know, there's a board in the office with the dates down of places we're going to hit up and go to this summer. So, you know, excited to get out. We need a big class. The 25 class, next year's class needs to be big. We're, you know, next season should be a really good year for us because we're going to have about 16 seniors. So it's an older group. We got to bring in a big class next year. So we got to go out and identify some guys this summer and get them on campus and lock them up for the future. So, you know, recruiting's a big part of it. And spending time with the family. That's what I won't be on the golf course. I can tell you that.
I will be. So I'll play enough golf for both of us. I know a lot of your guys like to play golf too, which
they do. They do. To be young again. Right.
I just found that out. These guys love to play golf. I didn't know that about these guys. So that's pretty cool. So, well, Coach, I just want to thank you for everything this year. I had a blast coming up to your office. I know we're doing these last couple on Zoom, but coming up to your office and just, you know, shooting the breeze about baseball. I mean, there was so many times where I could have just hit record, said, hey, how you doing? And I could have just let you go off and you would have been able to talk Bonnie's baseball for hours and hours on end. So I was just here to, you know, I don't even know what I did. I was just asking some questions. So I appreciate Tom Sipe for giving this responsibility to me. We're still working on who's going to do it next year, but I'll be in touch with you about that.
I was wondering, did you handpick someone? I mean,
we're working on it. It's a tough
one. Tommy reached down from the heavens, right? And he placed his hand out for you to follow him. Now, where's the, you know, you got to extend the hand.
Oh, we got it. We're just, you know, we got to finalize them down. You know, it's a tough process to go through. And of course, Seth Johnson, with the Bonnie's Online Network, all the work he does, Chris Russell, our producer, who does a great job as well. And to you, of course, I appreciate it. We had so much fun this year, and I know I won't be doing this next year, but I'll definitely be following pretty close. And I know I'm going to Syracuse University next year for a graduate. So if you guys have any games out near the Syracuse area, I'll definitely be in attendance. So,
well, this podcast doesn't happen without you. So, you know, obviously we thank Sipe for getting it started and bringing you on. I thought it was a great choice. You know, you were able to
reach a lot of people, bro. Like, a lot of people listen to this, and it doesn't happen without you. So thank you very much for doing it for us. It's a big, it helps the program, and you know, we couldn't do it without you. But Syracuse is cool, man. It was always my favorite basketball team. now they're number two in my book, right? Bonnies are one. So, you know, you'll have a great time there, continuing on, especially great education, you know, building off what you got here. So those are two pretty powerful alumni bases, brother. When you talk about, the sports broadcasting and, you know, media field. So you got some good ones there.
Do you think the next guy that takes over the podcast has to be named Thomas? We had Thomas Sykes. Does it have to be a Thomas, or can we do something? Can we switch it up?
You can switch it up. You don't have to stick. My dad's named Tom too.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he can do it.
Yeah. No. He asked me enough questions.
Fair enough. All right, Coach. Thank you so much for everything. Have a great summer, and you know, I'll be in touch over the fall and whatnot. So I appreciate your time as always.
Wish you luck, brother.
Thank you.